the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. Sid Garza-Hillman here. Welcome to my show, one and all. I'm glad you are here. If you're just joining me, stick around for just a few minutes. You'll get the lay of the land, how things work, and the general idea behind this podcast, which is that I bring this to you every week to discuss my philosophy of health and happiness, my approach to living better in the modern world, and that's via my small steps, and I get into that a lot each week. For most, it serves as a reminder in between the madness of the world to just settle in for an hour, kind of reset your clock a little bit, reground, reconnect to the life you want to live, to the person that you really, really are, and regardless of how you might have been living, even up until the moment you push play on this podcast. And that's not a joke. The idea is you connect with who you really are deep down. I really don't believe that this is like, I'm going to try to become a new person. I think you know who you are. I think you know how you want to live. I think you know how you want to be because you're already that. This podcast is meant to help you get closer to that, not to change you into a new person, but to just get you to who you are, to shed the things that maybe you were always told about yourself growing up, and that sort of formed what you think about yourself on some level, but I think underneath that, you kind of have a better idea. And the world isn't designed to help you get to that. The world doesn't say, hey, I want to help you get to who you are. The world says, we're going to sell you stuff that looks pretty and isn't going to help you be happier and healthier, but it's going to make you think that you need this stuff to make you healthier and happier. That's the world. In between that, there's some people, hopefully like me, but we're few and far between, but that we want to connect you to that part of you that's there already and just shed away the layers. And then you're just all of a sudden noticing little bits in your life like, that was me, right on. Whoa, that was cool. Saw that, didn't see that coming, never did that before. That's my greatest success. It's how I roll here every week. And I hope that if you're listening to this, it's because you got something out of it, or maybe you just got introduced to this. So stick around. It's not a typical podcast. It's definitely not mainstream. That's the way I like it. Okay, more on that in a minute, because that has to do with my ultra marathon that I put on this last weekend, and just a lot of thoughts around that. A little bit that hopefully can relate to you and your lives, et cetera, et cetera. But I will tell you that this whole episode is not about the race. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if I stop talking for like a second, I'll just fall asleep. That I will say. I'm kidding. I didn't just fall asleep. In fact, I'm having some mushroom hot cocoa. What? Yeah, I ordered another box. Came in. Digging that. Forgot how much I liked it. Another just set the time and date. Guess where I am? Back in my podcast studio. I got my ukulele. I played a little music because that's on my steps list. Got back to that. Missed that for a couple weeks because I was out of town doing the podcast from Texas and then from Sacramento. So it's just like back. It's great. I'm looking outside. It's kind of windy and cold. I got a heater on in here. Just digging the back to a little bit of normalcy. Very, very happy. Physically survived. Mentally, a little scarred. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Look, I might be a little scarred. All right, quick few announcements. This episode is sponsored by Health Made Simple. This is not like a real sponsorship, but it kind of is. But Matt Frazier, the No Meat Athlete, and I put together really, I hate to use the word epic because it's sort of like, it's epic, man. But it's kind of, it's a thing. And it's called Health Made Simple. You go to nomeatathlete.com/health, another slash. If you do go to .com/health and you don't put that extra slash, you'll go to a page that's not actually the thing itself. But Matt put a little paragraph at the top that gives you a link directly to that thing. So don't sweat it. Just get to nomeatathlete.com/health and another slash, and you'll get there either way. We've been working on this thing for about a year, and I've talked about it last few episodes, so I'm not going to go too much into it here. I will say that we were overwhelmed by the response, and it only leads me to believe the following, that people are looking for this kind of thing. Now, what is this kind of thing? This kind of thing is an odd product in a way. It is a meal plan of sorts, but of course with nutritional support from me, And from Matt too, on the athlete side of things, there's an athlete plan, but that's like a side thing. For most, really what it is for most is a meal plan that will get you past meal plans. That's what, how weird this thing, like this isn't, you don't get a meal plan every month. That's not at all what we wanted it to be. We have meal plans. We have five different meal plans. You get to know them. You repeat them as long as you need to until, guess what? They become your new normal. They become your most of the time. The exact stuff I've been talking about this podcast now for 136 freaking episodes, because I don't think people want to be locked into a thing where they look at their directions, instructions of what they have to do on Tuesday. We've crafted this so that it is fully embodied in the small steps approach that I talk about every week, my small steps approach. But Matt, you know, follows it too. And that is that it's like you ease in, and we're going to be doing Q&As all the time. In fact, there's one tomorrow. If you're a member already, tomorrow at 6 Pacific, Tuesday, April 26th at 6 p.m. Pacific, we're going to do a Q&A, because I think, you know, the idea is like we've got these things, but we're not just like, okay, good luck, follow them. We're like, no, if you can only handle one meal a week, then that's where you start. And that's as excellent as somebody who does more or less. It doesn't matter. That's the idea. We want to liberate you from structure. It's cheap. It's not like, this isn't like a thing where we're, you know, you're spending $500 on this thing. Like, we wanted it really to be revolutionary. And I think that it is. Like, I was like, we could not believe the numbers. Like, it was crazy. So very cool, right? And we're tweaking and improving, and we're using sort of the first group that came in as testers to get into it and give us some feedback, and we're getting it. So very, very cool. Thank you for the iTunes reviews that keep coming in. Totally appreciate that. Real quick, SidGarzaHillman.com is my website. You can find out all about me. Get a free chapter of my book by putting in your email address in the upper right-hand corner. You can donate to the podcast. I've gotten a few donations over the last week. Huge, huge. Okay, because I am going to be traveling, even going to Edinburgh, Scotland. Most importantly, I need a new cowboy hat. This is serious, you guys. I mean, I've had the same cowboy hat for like 7-8 years. And this weekend in the race, it got put in the van. I was wearing it all day. It got thrown in the van and smashed by boxes. I don't have a cowboy hat. It's kind of seen its day. It's sad. It's very sad. It's dented and morphed and just crazy. It's seen some good times, though. I will say that. It's seen some good times. Also on that website, t-shirts, mugs, and bracelets, all approaching the natural merchandise. The bracelets are, of course, What Would I Do? The message being of this podcast, whether you spend $2 on the bracelet or not, doesn't matter to me, is that you have the power. And I want to give you that power. I'm not here to make you come to me every week and say, I need you to give me the power. You've got it already. If I succeed, it's because you go, oh, crap, I already had the power. I already had the damn power. Now I'm going to come back on the podcast every week to just remind myself that I do, because the world wants you to think you don't have the power. The world wants to sell you a pill that you take so that while you sleep, you donate your weight to a cause, to a charity. You lose weight while you sleep. That's the world, because the message is that you can't do this. You can't change your behaviors. You're not strong. You're too weak to do that. You need a pill, and you need a diet, and you need little containers, because you can't do this yourself. That's crazy. You need us, and you better spend a ton of money every month because you need this. You are not strong enough. And scene. That was the world. That's exactly what the world sounds like. Just kind of a whiner, kind of a high-pitched whiner. I work for the Stanford Inn, head up their wellness center, stanfordinn.com. There's some running retreats, all that kind of crizap. Okay, so a couple announcements where I will be. This is like creeping up already. I already did the Marshall, Texas thingamajig in like a week and a half. Going to be in New York City, May 7th through the 8th. I'm actually speaking on May 8th, but I will be there both days. And that's nycvegfoodfest.com. Linda Lang, my buddy who has that cookbook out, Linda Lang, L-A-Y-N-G. Google it or put on Amazon, L-A-Y-N-G. Her cookbook comes up. It's really good. She's a buddy. She's become a good buddy. I love Linda Lang, but her brother and brother's wife came out, but her brother ran my race. So she came out, so I got to hang with her this weekend. But the reason why I bring that up about New York is because she lives out there, and her brother is the cool Kevin McGuire. This is a cool thing. He has a friend who does running tours through freaking Central Park, and they're hooking me up. I'm doing a running tour through Central Park on the morning of May 7th. Are you freaking kidding me? He was like, would that be interesting to you? And I was like, yeah, hello. A running tour through Central Park? Are you kidding? It's the best thing ever. So I'm all sign me up. Where else? Edinburgh Veg Fest. You guys know that. Honestly, for real, donations do help with the flight over there, which I am covering. And once I get there, they're handling everything else. But, you know, it's a stiff single malt. I'll put it that way. World Veg Fest in San Francisco, speaking there October 8th and 9th. Oh, and then that Berkeley thing on July 29th and 30th, which I didn't really know details about last week. Just realized I still didn't get details on it. It's July 29th and 30th in Berkeley. Okay, here's what I do know. Bob Linden, he's the guy putting it on. Does that help? Okay. But this is news now. Just found out over the weekend or Friday. It's been a blur, but I will be in Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia. Perhaps you've heard of it. Little Georgia state over there in the east side of the United States. I will be there speaking November 12th, the Atlanta Veg Fest. I don't have any amount of website, but I know if you Google Atlanta Veg Fest, there's going to be only one that comes up. Okay. Now it's different from the Atlantis Veg Fest, which used to be very popular. They don't know what the hell happened to it. YouTube, new video, and you please subscribe to my channel. Okay. Do I have to beg you? Really? Okay. Please. Can you ask for help? Just posted today. On that video, this will be the big sell because it's kind of cool, is a drone shot of the race start. Is that the cool? This kid Ian from the Stanford Inn, he's really good drone operator. It's kind of scary. I think these kids, they have it like they're just video game. I've got video game thumbs. I can fly anything. And so he freaking busted up a drone up into the air and shot the start. And it was like, oh my gosh, the cool camera. So that's at the end. You'll see the context of that, by the way. Okay. What else news for me? Dial back day. Kind of hit a dial back day today, you guys. It has been, I haven't been eating badly at all. I've been eating quite well, actually, considering the amount of stress. Haven't been eating a lot because it's just I'm on the move. Today, I literally ate, I'm not kidding when I tell you, probably 10 to 12 oranges. And here's why. Because I had orange slices, among a ton of other things, at the aid station tables and got, you know, there was a big bin left over. And so I just piled them in my car. They're still in my car. Just a big bin of oranges. Every time I get in the car, just eating oranges. I don't want them to go to waste. They're amazing. They're so good. And so I just eat oranges all day, not to mention a ton of other fruit because I had a shake made of whatever, 10 or 12 bananas. And so I've been doing that. So I do want to get into the race a little bit because this sort of was the context of there's a lot going on that's embodied in the race. It's really less about the race itself and more about trying new things, about stealing moments in the face of fairly extreme stress that of course I chose. So again, no victim here, but we choose to get into things. I mentioned this last week. We choose to get into things, and that doesn't mean that they're not stressful for us. I mean, we say I'm going to go get my master's degree, and we go to college, and we get our master's degree. That doesn't mean because you chose it that it's just stress-free because it's your choice. It's like, no, it's things we choose, and so oftentimes that there's a conflict in the way that we feel about that because we're entering something that we want to do, but knowing that it's going to be stressful. I mean, most people think an ultra marathon is crazy. Well, I think a master's degree is a little like that, except for it lasts way longer than one day. And it can be very, very stressful. And you do it because there, in theory, or best case scenario, is because there's a payoff. I talked about it last week, sense of accomplishment. There's something that you want to embark upon. I mean, women choose to have a baby knowing that it's going to be freaking painful and uncomfortable. Well, why? Because in theory, the value outweighs the struggle of that. That's called life. The question is, are you in a place in your mind that what you choose to struggle for is in line with who you are? If you choose to go to get a master's degree because you're feeling pressure from your parents and because you think you have to do it to make more money, et cetera, and it's not really you, then the stress is going to be even more than it would be otherwise. So the idea is, and more on this later in this episode, because this is all about sort of getting you to a place where the choices you make, even if those choices, by the way, add stress to your life, but that there are they in line with who you want to be? Because otherwise, it's a colossal waste of time for you in this life that you have. It's a colossal waste of time to choose something that is going to add stress to you and that isn't going to have a payoff of making you, in theory, healthier or happier, really happier, you guys. It's happier, right? Now, what I know is that we may make a wrong choice. We may make a choice with the right intentions to say, I'm choosing this because I believe this is going to make me happier. And this is something that I want to do and I believe that it's in line. And when we choose that thing and then it just turns out to not be at all like that and we go, whoa, and it's just horrible, but then kind of not because we did it, right? So there's still the accomplishment. It's like this, you know, I'll jump to the end. The race turned out great. I'm happy with the results. It wasn't perfect because I don't even know what that means. But it, all in all, incredible, right? But even if it hadn't, I learned a ton. I learned a ton in the process and documented through this podcast that even if the race had failed, I still wouldn't have regretted it because I learned a ton. I was kind of pushed to the edge a little bit, how to maneuver that, how to ask for help. All these things I learned from that, they ain't going away. Regardless of the conclusion or the outcome, they're not going away. All right? So anyway, back to sort of the race and kind of what that happened. Long story short, it ended up really well. I will tell you that the conclusion of race morning, like the final straw of the planning before the race even started. So Friday, the day before the race, April 22nd, I run the entire route, 31 miles, okay? Now, I hadn't run in 2 weeks, broke my toe. That's not true. I did one 9-miler like a week before, but that's the only run I did within 2 weeks, okay? So I pull off a 31-miler, and I'm not kidding when I tell you, pulled it off unbelievably well. And I think part of it is like, it didn't have like, oh my gosh, here's my ultra marathon day. It was like not really an ultra marathon in my brain. It was, as race director, like I got to get on these trails, make sure they're marked really well because they had been marked, but I wanted to go out again and just double mark. So like during the whole time, I'm like really paying attention to the trail, looking for markings. Like I wasn't really focused on, I'm running 31 miles today. Like it was kind of weird, just that change of mindset. Again, I mentioned last week that guy Skip Brand came with me, and that was absolute lifesaver having that guy. First of all, he's funny and fun, and we talked a lot. But secondly, his experience was amazing. He's like, "You should mark here, and you should mark here." And it also another little tidbit: not one person got lost. Zero people got lost in 31 miles of mostly trail running in the forest. Not one person got lost. That's freaking amazing. I don't even know if I'll ever be able to achieve that again. That is amazing. One injury, which was a minor sprained ankle, a couple people dropped because they had knee problems, but it wasn't like they fell and got really injured. You know, one guy fell, got a little knee thing. Like it was just unbelievably successful. Like I really felt happy about that. Okay. So pulled that off. On a side note, I have to be sort of mindful, like if you're just joining me, when you go 31 mile, like he's just talking about like it's nothing. Just note, I'm not really an ultra marathoner. I didn't always run these distances, not even close. I ran my first marathon when I was 45. I'm not a great runner. I run really slow. It's just, I believe partly because of my diet and partly because I'm a small stepper in general, that I keep my stress levels manageable enough. And the way that I exercise is so tempered and slow that I can pull off that with minimal wear and tear. That's just sort of the evolution of my own practice, is just start running longer distances and going, well, that doesn't stress me out. Well, that doesn't fit. How am I doing 20 miles all of a sudden and be able to walk around all day and play with my kids? What's going on there? Maybe I should try an ultra because I don't seem to be getting beat up by this all of a sudden, right? So, but I have to be mindful who I talk to about that, because to me now, like running 31 miles doesn't seem that crazy because I did it last year and I did a 50 miler and then I just did, you know, 4 days ago, another 31, not that much, but it doesn't seem that weird. But here's the thing. I remember how weird it used to seem. I mean, I remember when I discovered that there were even things called ultra marathons, I was like, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. But see, I didn't always eat the way that I eat either. And I know that the way that I eat, if you want to see my video on what I eat most days, most people would, and I talk about in the video, most people think that's crazy, that's extreme. Well, yeah, 10 years ago, I would have thought so too. The question is, can you, first of all, get to a place where it doesn't really care, it doesn't even really care like what people's perception of it is, but can you take enough time to get to something where by the time you get to it, it just seems like what you do? Because guess what? Because it's what you do. So when I go on a 20-miler with Sid, it doesn't have the momentous kind of thing around it, like 20 miles, oh my, 31 miles. It was like I went to bed. Because the thing is, it was in the context of a busy week of planning a race. So the night before, I'm not thinking that I'm getting up to do a 31-miler. I'm doing race planning. I'm emailing people and talking about the course and this and the sponsors and this. And then that morning, I get up, I run the 31. Well, I don't come home and just take a hot bath and fall asleep. I come home, take a quick, you know, shower with no soap. So I still haven't used soap in like literally like 4 months. And more on that later, not even. And then get to work. I just rinsed off, put some clothes on, and just got to work. So I didn't even like last time when I did the 31 mile or the 50K, it was like the race, right? And I got home and I just chilled and I went to sleep and took a day off. And well, this time I got home and rinsed off and worked till late. And then next day was race day. So at 3:15, I wake up, my brain is swimming, craziness. I get actually out of bed at 4:30. I'm at race site by 5:30, and I didn't get home till 6:30 that night, just going crazy. And then, of course, I had dinner with my buddies Doug and Katie. So Doug, I will mention, Doug Hay is the co-host of the No Meat Athlete radio show. And I actually flew him out for the race because he helped. So the idea was when I launched the race, I figured I would get, I've said this before, 20 to 30 people at best case scenario. But at the time that I talked to Doug, I only had 8 signups. So I actually thought, gosh, I might even get 8 signups. Like it was just 8 people signed up the first week and then nobody signed up for like a month. So I told Doug, I was like, dude, I'm flying you out. I will pay your plane ticket. You can stay with me and run this race, and in exchange, talk about the race on the No Meat Athlete radio. And then he has his own podcast, which is Rock Creek Runner. If you want to Google Rock Creek Runner, Doug Hay, he is awesome. And his wife, Katie, is there. So fun. We had like the best time. I may or may not be old enough to be his father. I really haven't done the math on that. I may be his father. And that's the thing. Like, I don't know. Best of luck to him, though. I hope he doesn't ask me for a college fund. Anyway, So then the race sells out before he even gets to the promotion. Like all of a sudden it just hit, and I had sponsored the Ultra Runner podcast, and all of a sudden word gets out, and you guys were probably listening to the podcast as numbers were coming in, and I was like, oh my gosh. So it sells out, it oversells. Well, then of course Doug's like, well, now what? I go, freaking still having you out, dude. So he came out, he did really, really well. I can't remember what place he came in, but it was pretty high up there, 14th or something. And had a good day. We had a great time. And so anyway, he had me on his podcast. So that's going to be launching pretty soon. I'll link to it. Rock Creek Runner. Really all about the sort of race director experience. And I will say that this is like the perfect small stepper kind of thing. I embarked on this having really no idea about what it is to be a race director. I just sort of jumped in. It, again, seemed like this is something I think I want to do. That's me. And it really was, and I had a really great experience, like I said. But at the same time, I didn't realize that like race directors, like that's a thing. They have reputations, and that it's kind of like a thing. Well, I don't think of myself as a race director. I'm a small step health coach, nutritionist, author, podcaster, YouTuber guy who happened to think this might be fun and put on a race. Probably if I had realized what a race director, kind of the lore is about them, I may have thought, oh, that's way out of my league. Kind of cool, right? So I shut myself off to didn't know any of that stuff and pulled off a race that was, I think by most measures, pretty darn successful. So like Eric Schranz, the host of the Ultra Runner podcast, he was like, this is an amazing first year. Like, I can't believe how together things are on this, you know? And as it should be, right? So I didn't want to half-ass anything. It's just not my bag. All right. So Doug Hay, Rock Creek Runner, go out and look for that. So what? But anyway, so I wanted to sum up. So the next morning after the 31-miler, the morning of the race, I wake up at 3:15. I am just tired. And I got 4,000 things going on. And this is race day, right? And it's starting to really sink in that for the first time, which is odd, like it was sort of just not real until that morning when I was almost when I was driving down to the race site and I thought, there's over 100 runners showing up today. There is friends and family showing up today. There is catering. There is tents. There is sponsorship. There is aid stations. There is 30 volunteers. And I'm the guy in charge. It was like the first time that I took a moment to go, oh my, what did I do? What did I do? It was just this like mild panic. And then it was like, well, I can't really panic about it because it's kind of too late to do something about it at this point. But there was that quick moment of like, thinking about all the people that were showing up and that I'm the go-to guy. Like I'm running the show here. And it was like, woo. Now, of course, as you know, because I've talked about the podcast, I had a ton of help. So I was like, okay. At the same time, I got my buddy Rick Hemmings, who was a volunteer coordinator. I got my family in town. I got my friends. Like I got support. So it's not like I was alone, but it was this moment where I went, I am the race director. Like I am in charge of this ship. And it's like, wow. So that's kind of crazy. But it sort of summed it up with this little tidbit is that I'm just about to leave my house and it's like 4:45 and I have this panic. Why? Because I realize there won't be any bottle openers at the race for the beer because I had a beer sponsorship. And so I go into my drawer and just hadn't bought bottle openers. I go into my drawer, I take two bottle openers and I put them in my freaking pocket. That was sort of like the last little like, okay, we're good. We're done. I got the bottle openers in my pocket, in my jean pocket. Like that was like of all the things that I had done. And that's how much stuff was just swirling in my brain was like, wait, nobody can open bottles. There's no bottle openers in my pocket. Now, only after, and I mean by like today, did I realize that the medals that I gave out for every runner were bottle openers. The medals also doubled as bottle openers. So I kind of didn't have any, but then on another hand, I had 150 of them. Woo! Finally, just again, can kind of see the comedy of this, kind of taking deep breaths here. Okay. So back to the kind of, back to that whole thing. Again, huge thank you to everybody and just really good support and good feedback from runners. It was a pretty amazing thing. I feel like I want to do it again, but I sort of have to, well, I don't even want to jump ahead because that's the subject of this episode. Okay. One more thing I want to talk, well, a couple more things I want to talk about. I mentioned Rick Hemmings. He runs Stanford Inn's Catcher Canoe, the bicycle canoe place. And I had an email I wanted to mention that I had sent out to the volunteers, the volunteer group, and said, thanks, and so happy that you're, you know, helping me out. And in the draft of that email that I ran by him, I said, it's super great to have you guys help me out, especially this first year. I've never done this before, and I'm feeling like a fish out of water. And I ran it by Rick, and there was other things I needed him to look at. And he said, look, don't take this the wrong way, and you can do with it what you please. But he said, you're in charge of a bunch of volunteers and they don't want to really want to hear that you feel like you're a fish out of water. And I was like, that's a really good point. But what I wanted to be clear about is that while I was a fish out of water, because why? Because I'd never done this before. But that didn't mean in my mind, I did change it because he's totally 100% right. But it didn't mean in my mind that I couldn't handle it. It just meant I need your guys' help because I'm figuring this out. But what I want to say is, but I'm a small stepper and I know blah, blah, blah. And they'd just be like, he's just insane. He's insane. What is he explaining? Can we just tell me what to serve at the aid station? Can you tell me where the potato chips go? And so it was sort of like, yeah, I'm a fish out of water, but I've sort of done due diligence to know that I can handle situations when I'm a fish out of water. Isn't small stepping the ultimate fish out of water? When we small step into our lives, we are constantly putting ourselves in situations where we're fish out of water. We're putting ourselves into new situations that we're unfamiliar with. That's the whole point. The whole point is you're starting to live like yourself for the first freaking time in your whole life. That's very weird. If you're overweight and you've been overweight your whole life, but you know deep down that who you really are is a person at a healthy weight, well, when you start to act like a person who is at a healthy weight, that's you being a fish out of water. You don't know what that's like. You can't visualize yourself thin, man, because you don't have any frame of reference. I can't visualize myself as a race director. Why would I even try? But I knew that I wanted to conduct the race a certain way. If you're trying to live healthy, you can, like I said in the Betcha 10 Bucks, I'll bet you 10 bucks, you know what it's like to, what somebody who eats healthy food does. You get that. You may not be able to visualize yourself doing that because that's sort of totally irrelevant. I don't want to be able to visualize myself as a race director. I don't even know what that means, but I do know what the event's supposed to look like. And that's getting to the freaking meat of this practice, you guys. It's not about what it looks like to be a healthy person. It's what does a healthy person do? Well, when you do those things, you're a fish out of water. Why? Because you've never done them before. But when you're a small stepper, you ease your way in. You pay attention to all aspects and you realize it's even a way bigger picture than what you eat. And so that way you can fill in other areas that prepare you enough to take action in those ways, in ways that don't break you down, that actually enhance your life, that make it possible for years from now, potentially, that you eat in a totally different way. Like I said, I didn't always eat the way that I eat now. And when I talk about it, I talk about it like it's normal. Many people think it's nuts. Well, it's not nuts to me because it's just what I do now. It's little nutty as what I used to eat 10 years ago was for me then. If somebody said, what do you eat? I go, well, I eat this, this, and this. I mean, it's what it is. Now it's just different stuff. Same thing for me. Same experience for me. It's not, I don't wake up every morning and go, oh my goodness, look at the way that I eat. Oh my gosh, I can run 20 miles. I can run, oh my gosh. Well, that would be really, that's how it would be if tomorrow I could do something completely different than I can do today. Yeah, it would be surprising and weird and amazing and I don't even know. Or scary, I don't even know. But that's not my business. If I had some superpower that I discovered tomorrow that I could fly, that'd be amazing. But if humans could fly and it took me 5 years to learn to do it, and eventually over time I worked and worked and worked and eased my way in and learned this new behavior, and 5 years from now I fly, it would just be like, yeah, so I fly. That's the process of the small stepper, is by the time you get to a place that is like very different maybe from what you're doing now, it will be years. That's how it's supposed to be, so that when you get there, you it's there. You don't burn out. You don't go, oh, I can't keep this up. There's nothing to keep up. It's what you do. So just kind of wanted to make that point. I took the fish out of water comment out because I didn't want to instill in them that I didn't know what I was doing. That wasn't the point of saying that. I do know what I'm doing. I was my way of saying I'm getting better at asking for help because I do need like extra help. And it was amazing. I mean, I had some literally every runner, I think every runner said something about how amazing the volunteers were. I mean, I had amazing people out there. Guess what? Some of them I never even met. It was all via email and groups and friends who came out and people playing music on the course. I didn't set that up. I just hooked up with this woman who runs this campground area that we ran through. And she goes, I'll bring some people out. And I go, that'd be great. Cheer on the runners. That'd be amazing. Well, there were people playing banjo and ukulele and like all this amazing stuff. Never knew, never saw it. Still haven't seen it because I wasn't there. I was at the base. I was at the start finish. So, I mean, so amazing that this happens, right? So anyway, back to business. So yeah, so that was kind of what that was. And just running the show of that many people, I feel like I could be president of the United States now. With the experience that I have, I don't think it can be much different to be president as it is to run an ultra marathon with 130 people. I think substantially it's the same. Trump, I'm coming for you, baby. Okay, President Garza Hillman. There will never be a hyphenated president, by the way, just FYI. There will never be, mark my words, there will never be a hyphenated president. Okay, we're not ready for that. We're not that progressive. Okay. Couple more things about the race because I'm diving in on this. If you guys listen to the Josh LaJohnny episode, you'll know that he and I both talked about you just do something even if it's wrong. Well, it was a very odd thing for me to show up on race day, and this was nothing I could do about it. But I showed up on race day with a bunch of stuff that I knew I was going to be having to make decisions on in the moment that I couldn't plan ahead. It was stuff that I thought, I'm going to have to figure it out in the moment. That's very weird. First of all, it doesn't gel with how I've lived my life, but totally gels with who I believe that I am down deep. And it was weird to show up on race day, and they're like, the volunteers that showed up to put the registration table were like, where's registration table? And in that moment, I go, right there. It just made a decision, move the tables there, and that's where that's going to be. The confidence that I had was very cool, and I wouldn't have discovered that. And I'm not 100% confident. Obviously, nobody is. But there was confidences and abilities in me that were put to the test that I felt like I did pretty darn well at. One of which was just to, let's just do that. Worst case scenario is a bad idea. I make a note. I don't do it next year. I change it up. Right? So it's not like none of the decisions I had to make were like, yeah, run, turn left. And then there was a cliff when you turn left and you know, 14 runners ran off a cliff. It wasn't like that. It was like, where do you put the registration? Well, it may not have worked. But I don't know until I just say, yeah, pull the trigger, go put it there, and the food goes there and that goes there. And then during the day, things got shifted. Like, I think some volunteers were like, that doesn't really work. They just kind of moved things around. And I was like, ah, good decision. Great. You don't know until you just act, even if it's just wrong. And if you're a small stepper, wrong doesn't mean bad. Wrong doesn't mean imperfect. Wrong doesn't mean failure. Wrong means, okay, do the other decision then. Turn right. That's what that means. It's that kind of liberation, you guys. That's why I am so passionate. That's why I come here every week, is because I'm doing the same thing you are. But when I see these moments, when I feel these moments of like, it's not the end of the world, if the registration table doesn't work out, we're going to figure out a solution. It'll have to be stressful in the moment, but we'll get past it. It worked out great. It's how crucial adaptation is to the small steppers philosophy. It is about adaptation. It is about how to figure out how to change in moments, because you are constantly having to make, you don't make one decision and then that's just where you go for the rest of your life. It's a series of decisions. And when you develop the core you, then the decisions that come from that are going to be over time more representative of you and fall in line more with you. I think that part of the strength of this race, in my opinion, and again, I don't know if it's going to be successful in the world, but I will say it was representative of me. I talked about that a little bit with Doug Hay on the Rock Creek Runner podcast, because I knew that I wanted it to be a very Mendocino experience, and that because we have our own character definitely in this county. It's kind of kooky and in a cool way. But I also wanted it to be representative of me. I didn't want to do what race directors do. I wanted to do things that were me. Well, if I wanted to show up at a race and have really good food afterwards, that's what I did, because that's the kind of race I would want to run. And people commented like, I can't believe how good the food is. Like, this is ridiculous. You never get good food. It's like you get the crap food, right? When I finished my 50 miler, it was like pulled pork sandwiches over there. Well, it's just crap food. And I'm not talking about health. I just mean like quality. It just wasn't that great. And so that was kind of thing. I wanted like really nice beer, and I wanted, you know, we had berry cobbler, for crying out loud, berry cobbler for 150 people, like homemade, like how, you know, made in the restaurant, like handmade by this chef, Sadna Burko, who works at the Stanford Inn, like amazing. Excuse me. So it was like those little details made it have character. And I've talked about character on this podcast before. This is the small stepper's way, is to develop your own character. That's what, and I don't mean character in a movie, I mean of character, of a value, of standard, of principle, of expression. It's getting to know who you are. Well, for better or for worse, I think that race represented me. Little things like I greeted every runner when they came across. People like, boy, you're going to make it bigger next year. I go, not really. Like, it's going to be around the same size. Why? Because that's who I am. I don't want a race of 1,000 people where I make a ton of money, but I have 1,000 people to worry about. It's just not my bag. It's not my thing. And that's a liberating thing for me at 47 to really understand that it's not me having fear of success. It's that it's really how I want to roll. And it's partly why, like I said, this podcast isn't mainstream. It's not, you know, in the mainstream, it's not mass appeal. That's not what I think and that's how it was for music. And I remember when I was younger playing music, there was conflict about that a little bit. You know, like I didn't want to sacrifice my songwriting to try to be mass appeal, but I was frustrated that I wasn't hitting mass appeal. But now looking back, it's like, no, because that's not who I am. I mean, if it becomes mass appeal, it's sort of going to be ancillary and be like, yeah, well, I guess that happened. So I don't want it to be the goal. I want it to be, if my YouTube channel gets a million subscribers tomorrow, to be like, okay, cool. But I'm not going to change the videos that I do because I'm happy with them, because I feel like they represent me and the evolution of me even as a YouTuber. If you look at my first video to my videos now, they've changed, they've evolved. My first videos aren't that, I mean, I don't really like them. People, you know, they're not mean about it. I have good reviews about them, but I look back at the early ones and go, I was testing the water, but I tested the freaking water. I did put my toe in the pool and made some decisions that I would never make now, but I couldn't get there until I did that first. And so this is the excitement, you guys, of, again, like last week, the sense of accomplishment or whenever that was, two episodes ago. This is what that is. Better or for worse, if everybody hated it or didn't, I accomplished something. Guess what I accomplished? I put on a race. I put on a race that was representative of me. And the closer I get to who I am and get to be clear, because it's not overnight that we discover that about ourselves, we attract the people that are attracted to that person instead of the person that we've maybe been living. We attract the people that are attracted to who we truly are. And I like that it's a small, comparatively very, very small race. I like that it's intimate. I like that there's a little party afterwards that people hung out and ate food and just talked to each other and met each other. And it was this like really intimate thing, and people coming up to me thanking me for putting this on, and they had a great time. One guy finished, he's like, this is the best experience I've ever had in my life. I mean, I gave the little speech pre-race. It was like 10 minutes before the race, and I'm talking about volunteers, and I literally get teary-eyed, like I'm breaking, like I'm starting to cry. And I think people were like, why is the guy crying at the race? Like, this is awkward. But it's like so much work leading up to this thing, and to see this creation real. And I've talked about that, haven't I, in this podcast. And if you're just joining me, please go back and listen to old episodes. I talk about creative. I talk about creation and art, because that's, to me, part of living well is that thing too. It's connecting to something that you want in the world, whether that, I just talked about it recently, because in a sense, we create ourselves by connecting to, by getting to know who we truly are and becoming more that person. We create a new person in the world. It's not, again, not a changed person for us. It's more who we are. But in terms of how the world, putting something external in the world, you are putting yourself in the world as a different form. That's art, but it's still expressive at the end of the day of who you truly are. That race was expressive of me. And it was in my head, and then it was real. And that's, there ain't nothing like that. You guys, there's nothing like that. That's the thing. What we contribute to the world, what we add into the world, what we accomplish in the world. That's the stuff of happiness. That's the stuff of fulfillment. That's the stuff, oddly enough, that gets us to a place where we can be at a healthy weight, where we can be moving our bodies well. We are clued into us, and that's how we begin to manifest that stuff in the world. And so the big picture is, this really isn't about a race. This is about something that I wanted to do and taking steps over a long time. It took me a year to essentially small step in a way, because it was just sort of like, do this and then this and little bits. I didn't plan it in a week. Couldn't have. And then it was there. And it was just this thing. And it's not done yet. I'm still not done yet. It's a practice. Next year is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to tweak a few things. I got some good feedback from volunteers. Why? Because it wasn't perfect. I mean, little things like, they're like, we really needed scissors because we couldn't get the darn chip bags open. It was like, noted. You know, like, fine. They didn't complain. They were helping me. That's the beauty of this process, you guys. Okay? Last week when I told you that sometimes when we accomplish something, you know, the sense of accomplishment, when we sort of forget the struggle. Well, I have not forgotten the struggle. It's too close. It was only 2 days ago. So I'm very clued into sort of my state of mind last week. But at the same time, even though I'm still clued into that level of stress and how fatigued I was, I still think that the pleasure of seeing that thing real far outweighs the struggle. And I'm still mindful of the struggle. I can only imagine 6 months from now, I'll sort of conceptually go, yeah, I think I was stressed back then, but I won't really still feel it. Well, today I'm fatigued. I'm tired. Yesterday, I still had to work on the race, emptying, you know, taking recycling, and it was like a zero waste event, basically. I had ordered compostable cups and plates and the flatware and the everything was like recycled, the whole thing. Well, I had to deal with all that. I had to do, you know, just follow up emails. I'm still not done, but I'm slowly now getting back into the pleasure of me sitting in my own podcast studio, knowing that I don't have to shut this down and go inside and work till 1 a.m. on a race or on a health plan, you know, a meal plan, because that's sort of dialed in now. We're tweaking, but it's not the major stuff. It's pretty great. I'm going to go in and have a big freaking salad with my wife. Kind of back to my normal that was working for me. But again, I think I'm of a place now that next year I believe that I want to do this again. And I'm pretty confident it's going to be a lot easier. Why? Because now I've built up the Arsenal experience. It's not going to be perfect. I'm still going to have stress because I'm still learning. But the more I do, the more I settle in. That applies to how you move your body, you guys. That applies to how you eat your food, you guys. That applies to how you create. That applies to how you deal with your relationships. It deals with all of those things. You build the Arsenal experience and learn a little more at each juncture so that the next time the decisions are a little bit easier and a little more in line with who you are. Okay? Every week. Every freaking week. Now, do I wish that everybody were a small stepper? Do I wish I had an army of small steppers? Yes, I do. Not my army. I wish there were an army of small steppers. I don't want people to all want to be race directors or to eat the same food that I eat or to be runners. I don't care about the minutia or the individual particular actions of any individual. But would I like everybody to be a small stepper? Would I like everybody to wake up in the morning and go, I really want to do the best thing I can for myself today, and I'm able to adapt given what happens today because I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm a little more today okay with not knowing than I was yesterday, but I also understand every day that I'm worth treating well and that I also hold my happiness above all else because I know that if I make myself happier, then that's what goes into the world, more happiness. And if I do cool things, then I can make other people happy. Here's a fact. I made other people happy on Saturday, a lot of them. And I'm not even talking about the runners also. The volunteers had a good time. The families had a good time. I was being thanked by freaking tears. I had ham radios at each station, a ham radio club, the Mendocino Ham Radio Club, thanking me what a great time they had. And they want to come back. They were helping me. They were volunteering their time on a Saturday to sit at a table and do ham radio communication. And they thanked me. This is like amazing. So do I want everybody to engage in their lives in a similar way that I engage in my life? Yes, I do. Because it's about trying to be happy. I'm in a practice. So I'm at a certain place and somebody else is ahead of me or somebody else is behind me. Doesn't really matter because we all sort of get up in the morning and go, let me see what I can do today. Yeah, but I'm doing something about it. Remember that, you guys? I'm overweight. Oh, wait. Yeah, I'm doing something about it. Oh, I haven't played guitar. I should be playing guitar. I used to play. Oh, wait, I'm doing something about it. I'm playing 5 minutes a week. Before I turned this podcast on, I got my ukulele out and I played for 5 minutes because that's on my steps list and it makes me happy. I don't have to think I should be playing music. I think I play music. If I want to play more at some point, I'll freaking play more because I'll add it to 6 minutes. See? All right. Real quick, I'm going to jump into the subject of this week's episode. Mostly, I want to talk about that whole experience because it was a doozy in a good way. Okay? Tell you what is also a doozy is this mushroom hot cocoa. I feel conflicted about the term hot. I don't like the term hot cocoa. Okay? It is the sofa of drinks. And I don't like it. I don't like it, but I don't know if hot chocolate is appropriate. But cocoa, sort of hot cocoa, it just, right? You guys with me? gosh, I really do wonder why this isn't mainstream. Plan ahead. Plan a dash head. Again, like I said last week, the cleverness of my titles is it never gets the attention. It's not, there's no spotlight on it because it's a verbal medium, because podcast isn't a verbal medium. So please go look at the title. It'll just make your day. That's how great I think this title is. I'm joking. Plan ahead. Now, instead of plan ahead, it's plan ahead. The idea is that to draw attention this week on how crucial the planning stages are to even getting to the point where you start to formulate an idea of a change. You see? It's like four steps behind the point where you actually pull a trigger on an actual small step, or at least a small step in that thing. So in other words, I had a client one time. In 6 weeks, this client lost 12 pounds in 6 weeks. 12 pounds. And guess what we had never done? Talked about food yet. I had not had a discussion with him about food. Not one. 12 pounds, 6 weeks. No discussion about food. No nutritional coaching. Guess what? Bet you 10 bucks he sort of knew what healthy eating was already. Okay? He sort of knew what that was already. But what did we do? Well, we did all the other things. We planned, we did a thing where his head changed around food. We did things that affected the way that he thought about his life. We did work in building a steps list of non-food items that drew his attention to his whole life instead of all focus on food. And this is the big thing. There's no sell here, okay? But that's the thing about the Health Made Simple is we don't want it, to be about food. I got to talk about food. It's like, dial this in so you can do other stuff physically and mentally. Dial this in as quickly as possible so that you're liberated to do other stuff. And that includes special meals and stuff that don't exist on most meal plans. Because again, there's no variables. Well, it's not like that. That's what happened with this guy. I did everything but food on purpose, fully on purpose. Oh, we'll get that later. You're not there yet. Remember the "You're Not There Yet" episode? Not there yet. But he's losing weight because why? Because his head is different. He's in a different headspace. He's not stressed about food anymore because we'll get there. He knows we're going to talk about it at some point. So he sort of, the weight comes off and he can be like, okay, well, I don't have to worry about that now. So I can just sort of keep eating what I eat because I'm doing all these other things. Eventually I'll get to that thing, to the food discussion. Well, by removing the weight off his shoulders, he was of a lower stress level day to day. He was taking deep breaths. He was journaling. He was moving his body more. And I mean like very minimally, but more than he was, such that when he would go to eat, he would be more aware and more, I hate to overuse this term, more mindful, more attentive in the moment. And he started saying, yeah, I was like running out the house and I usually would grab like a yogurt and I just grabbed an apple and banana and got in the car and drove away. I've never done that before. Well, that's why you lose weight. I didn't need to tell him apples and bananas, this much potassium and magnesium, and there's this much protein and carbohydrate. He knows an apple and a banana is freaking healthy. I didn't need to have that discussion with him. Later, we got to the food and tweaked a little bit more when he was freaking ready, when his head was ready. That's what this is. You have got to, not have to, if you're planning on becoming more of who you are, it means sometimes, you know, like nesting, like, you know, men and women, like couples, when they're getting ready for a baby, they sort of like, get the house ready. I got to get the house ready. Well, this is what this is. Get your house in order. It's planning ahead. It's getting, okay, I got to get my head ready for this change. Later, I'll decide that the change is going to be at this level and I'll small step it and I'll decide that the change is going to be one stalk of celery on my dinner. But I have to plan ahead. I have to get a head that is ready for this. I have to prepare my head to take on a change, no matter how small that change is. Saying no to certain things, organizing, decluttering. Here's what I know. Here's what I learned. I want to do this race next year. Here's what else I know. I do not want to do this race next year if I'm doing all the other stuff that I was doing this year when the race started to heat up. It was too much. I got pushed too much. So now I know, because of my Arsenal experience, that 3-4 months out of this race, I'm freaking getting ready. I'll be doing some things about the race, but mostly what I'm going to be doing 4 months out is making my head ready to take the stuff of the race on, making my life ready to take the stuff of the race on. That means organizing my house, nothing to do with the race. That means making sure my body is really healthy and in good shape. That means turning down projects or, you know, minimizing my client base for the next 4 months because I got to get ready to take this thing on. That's the probably the number one thing I learned is the context of the race did not work for me. The race worked for me, but I cannot do all the things that I was doing and the race on top of it. I can't do it. It was that part was not worth it. I'm glad what I learned, I ain't going to repeat that thing. I'll repeat a lot of what the race was because the race was awesome, but I will not repeat my life during the race planning. Never again. I will punt on the race. I'll just go, I'm not doing the race. If I have to do this many things or I have this many things going on, I will not do the race because it was, as much as I loved it, it was too much. It was too much. I think you guys heard that. Now, do I want to do the race really badly? Yes, I do. So I'm going to do everything I can to plan my, to make my head ready to take this on again next year. That means I have to think ahead and go, I can't just dive into this thing and take on a whole bunch of projects and then go, oh, oops, it's race time, right? We can't put ourselves knowingly in this situation. Now, what happens is we find ourselves in these situations. I didn't know what my limit was. Now I do. Now I can make changes for next year. At the same time, I want to make this point. We can't plan for all eventualities. So I can get my head, I can plan ahead and get my headspace like, okay, good, house is organized, got the da-da-da, I'm all good, I turned down some projects, I got some, okay, ready to go. Then boom, something happens that I didn't foresee, something that I have to do. What happens then? Well, what happens then is when a small stepper approaches their lives in the way that I lay out every week, now for 136 weeks, is we do that even better. We then enact the stealing moments. We then enact the, this isn't the time for me to eat junk food. I better really take care of myself if I'm in this situation the best I can. Maybe with better food most of the time, but then still some treats and sort of stress relief kinds of situations too. We can't plan for all eventualities. I can do the best I can to say, I know that around this time, I'm going to have to start really diving into the race. So I'm going to better prepare myself and get myself in a good headspace to be able to pull that off. And then 3 weeks later, something happens that I didn't see coming. And I got to make a decision then. And that decision I make at that point could be the wrong decision. I don't know. And like I said a few episodes ago, usually those so-called wrong decisions, we look at 5 years later and go, oh my God, I'm glad I made that decision. Because we got a little time to walk away from it and look at it. But I don't want to minimize this point, which is before you take on even a small, if your goal, let's say I always go to weight loss because that's just people sort of connect and they understand or they know somebody wants to lose weight. It's like, it's something we get, but again, it's a way bigger picture. But if let's say you want to lose weight, I would say get to the point where you are able to make a change about food, start small stepping into every other area except that. Every other area except food. Every other area except calorie counting. Every other area except portion control, which are all crap anyway. But the problem is many of us, when we want to do, hypothetically lose weight, we don't prepare our heads for this thing. We don't plan a head that is able to do weight loss. We dive in prematurely and then we do get sucked into portion control and weight loss and diets and all this crazy stuff. But when we get ahead about it and we go, okay, my head's in the right space, then you start thinking, I don't really want to lose weight so much as be healthy. I don't want to lose weight so much as nourish my body and let my body be healthier and therefore secondarily get a healthy weight. I don't want to jump into a marathon tomorrow. I want to run more because I enjoy running. And so I'm able to just get my head around that instead of pushing myself too hard in the gym or going out for a run too hard and causing myself suffering and pain. The transition occurs later. The planning stages occur now. And the small steps that you have on your list, eventually some of those small steps will be directly related to the initial goal. Some small steps will be putting the celery on your plate, but those should be later down the line. The steps that are directly related to your goals should be way down the line. When you want to lose weight, first step on your list, here, I'll suggest one. Ready? Take one deep breath per day. That's the perfect small step. I don't mean perfect, right? You know what I mean by that. A great small step to lose weight, take one deep breath per day. But that's not calorically sound, Sid. That's not a very good caloric advice that you're giving. Because it ain't about calories, you guys. And I'll bet you $10 deep down, you know that already. That's not really about calories. It's about being happy. It's about lowering your stress. It's about feeling good in your body. Well, there's a ton of ways to do that when you're clear that that's really what you want. Then it's less about food. And food is just one of those things. And you start going, well, if I'm going to try to lose weight, I better really do some work so that I can get to the point where I can do it in a actually smart, intelligent, long-lasting, actually the real meaning of sustainable way. Then you realize at some point in the future, okay, I am ready to now do this thing that's a little more related to the actual goal. Got it. I planned ahead. Now I'm ready for the transition. Now I'm ready to take this on because it's not going to take me down in the process. And I will not burn out because I've got sort of my ducks in a row that I can actually take this on without just crashing and burning. That's a small stepper's way. It's long-term, you guys. It's long-term. And I know the frustration because you want something so bad that you want it now. And the reason why you want it now is because you're sold in the marketplace that it can happen now. And that's the recipe for failure. That's the weight loss that is militant and rigid and that you can't stray from, and that things don't fit on this list, and that if they don't fit on this list, I can never have them. That's setting yourself up for failure. You will fail it that way. But if you are in a good headspace and you realize this is long term, you'll put the actual food adjustments, you'll kick those things down the road a little bit. Or you'll ease your way in on those at such a minimal level that it really is like a celery on your dinner plate. But in the meantime, you're preparing yourself, you're treating, you're learning how to treat yourself well. Well, how does that play into weight loss? In every way, it plays into it in living happy. And a happy, healthy person is at a healthy weight by definition. So how to treat yourself well? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that you're worth taking care of? Do you think every day, you know what, I am actually worth taking care of here? Like, this is real. I haven't been doing that, but it really is me. Deep down, I am somebody who takes care of him or herself, and I believe that I am worth taking care of. I'll get to food later. Wow, I realize this isn't really about food at all. This is about, am I able to take care of myself? Do I feel like I'm worth it? And I think if you really attend to that in a deep way, you realize, I totally think I'm worth it. I just haven't been living that way. But I totally think I'm worth taking care of. That's where it starts. That's a small stepper's ethic. That's a small stepper's get out of bed in the morning knowing that you're worth taking care of and that you're going to do your best that day to do that. And that could be one little teeny thing like a deep breath. That may be where you're at. That's huge. Huge. All right, you guys. I also didn't just fall asleep there either. Didn't fall asleep one time. Not one. I think that's a great success of a podcast. If you ever listen to other podcasts and those podcast hosts fall asleep, that's not success. Rich Roll falls asleep. He probably sleeps 10 times per episode. You can tell him I said that. Say, Sid says you fall asleep 10 times per episode. All right, you guys. Listen, you're doing great. The emails, I've gotten some really nice emails, and I will write you back. Absolutely. Of course, they came in, you know, during the heat of the race, so I'm a little bit behind on that, but I will be catching up this week. You will get an email back from me, okay? Unless you're nutty nut nut, but I haven't gotten any of those, so that's fantastic. All right, you guys, listen, take care of yourselves, start building a steps list. And that means one freaking step, one deep breath. Take a piece of paper, write down my steps list. Number one, one deep breath per day. That's it. There's your go. You got a steps list going. Start there. You think I'm joking? I'm not freaking joking. Okay? Talk to you in a year and see where that step list goes. See in a year. See in 5 years. That's the small stepper's way. It's lifetime. It's not 21 days. All right, you guys. You're doing great. If you want to email me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com is how you do that. Otherwise, throw me an iTunes review if you feel like it and you literally have nothing better to do. You're just like, I have nothing to do. I already read the comic strips, so I guess I'll leave an iTunes review. I'll talk to you guys next week, all right? This is Sid Garza-Hillman signing off. In the meantime, be well.
Underground, yeah. Counting days just for fun. Adding up the time till it was done. And I'm walking back and forth to forget where I've begun. And I'm circling wise and foolish to see which is more fun. Yes, I'm circling wise and foolish to see which is more fun. Handing over, I'm giving all of it to you. Through asking what is true, and I'm taking all the memory, leaving them with you. I'll be coming back for them when all the black is blue. Yes, I'll be coming back for them when all the black is blue. The sandstorms will cover everything. From wasted ideas to torture ass, I bring it, I feel lost without you. But I will, I'm gonna find a way. But I will, I'm gonna find a way. But I will, I'm gonna find a way. In these days when all that was, it is again. I need a plan, I need a friend. That I don't mind stepping sideways. I just like to know when. I can't put trust in you. Can't do that again. No, I can't put trust in you. I can't do that again. The sandstorms will cover everything. From wasted avenues to torture ass, I bring it. Without you, but I will, I'm gonna find a way. But but I will. I'm gonna find a way. The sandstorms will cover everything. From wasted at the end to torturous, I bring in, I bring in. I feel lost without you, but I will. I'm gonna find a way. But I will. I'm gonna find a way. But I will, I'm gonna find a way. Underground, yeah. Counting days just for fun. Adding up the time till it was done. And I'm walking back and forth to forget where I've